Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Six family members were dead in an apparent murder-suicide in suburban Dallas after two brothers made a suicide pact that included the deaths of their other relatives. Allen, Texas police say a concerned friend called police around 1 a.m. Monday. Sergeant John Felty on NBC5.
I've been here 21 years in Allen. We have never had an incident like this in the 21 years that I have been here.
One brother was 19, the other was in his 20s. The victims included a grandparent, two parents, and a sister. Monday's Supreme Court ruling in favor of Google over Oracle is allowing the industry to breathe easier. By resolving the 11-year-old dispute over rights to program code in favor of Google, the threat will no longer hinder advances in creation of new technology. Walmart is working with the CDC, HHS, and local officials to tackle the COVID-19 vaccine rollout at scale. Over 5,000 pharmacy locations, 90% of the U.S. population lives within 10 miles of a Walmart. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
A new March Madness champion has been crowned. Dan Naraki from the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
For the first time in school history, the Baylor Bears are national champions, running away from Gonzaga Monday night 86-70 in the national championship game. Baylor never trailed, starting the game on a 21-6 run and never looking back. Baylor junior guard Jared Butler was named the tournament's most outstanding player, leading the Bears Monday night with 22 points and 7 assists. With the loss, Gonzaga ends the season at 31-1, becoming the fifth team since 1976 to carry a perfect season into the tournament without winning a title.
A large crowd gathered for a vigil Monday held by the family of rapper DMX outside the hospital where he's been fighting for his life. The crowd of perhaps hundreds heard playful words for the rapper who was taken to the White Plains Hospital Friday night after a heart attack, perhaps drug-induced. "He's iconic," said Tanya Williams of White Plains, who was among those who gathered for the vigil that started around 5 p.m. "You know we love him. He's a Westchester legend. He made it." This is USA Radio News.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Rental car companies sold a majority of their inventory when lockdowns were the normal in America. Now the industry is scrambling to keep up with demand. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Thinking you'll rent a car for your next trip? Well, think again. Shortages are slamming the United States right now, and industry insiders say the problem is only growing worse. Much worse. The high demand translated into rates between $200 and $300 for a compact car, with many airport rental agencies completely out of inventory.
This is a perfect storm on multiple fronts because the car rental companies sold off their inventories when a year ago no one was leaving their homes. And now that demand is coming back, they simply just can't get cars quick enough.
Brian Kelly, founder of PointsGuy.com, speaking there on ABC News. Kelly also telling ABC News if you are able to find a car, you will pay.
We're seeing in general a 30% increase in car rental rates, and in some markets like Hawaii and Florida, we're seeing up to 300% increases. So you're looking at $250 and up in some markets. So the cost of your car can be way more than your flight these days.
Car rental market size growth between 2016 and 2021 is down 12.1%. NCAA March Madness has crowned a winner. Monday, the Baylor Bears beat Gonzaga 86-70 to win their first ever national championship. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-897-1434. 800-897-1434. That's 800-897-1434. Paid for by Airtime Media.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's what we do, and thanks for joining in, because look at the more the merrier, and we need all hands on deck to make this happen. As we said, we've been kind of pushing this boulder uphill here, and it may seem that it's been a bit overwhelming, but you know, at the end of the day, you think about it, it's just a small minority of people who are antithetical to where most of us want to go. And when you break down the polling evidence, it seems to even make it that much more clear. Craig Taylor, a best-selling author, joins us now. We're going to be talking about his new book, New Yorkers. Over the last 20 years, New York City has been overtaken by an enormous challenge, as we know: terrorist attack, blackout, recession, hurricane, pandemic. You might even throw in a garbage strike here and there as well, just for fun, because I remember one year when I was there, and it stinketh to high heaven. But, hey, it's the personality and what happens when you get so many people condensed in such a small area, something like 8 million plus people, right, Craig?
Absolutely, yeah, that's what happens.
but it makes for good writing, too, because it's like every day and every moment there's a story coming out of this naked city that, you know, championships the cause of our fellow human beings, right?
Absolutely, yeah, that was a big theme in the book, was all of these interconnections that you can find in a city, all of these people who were... just making connections with each other, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you say, it's an amazing tribute to the city and its people. There is something about New York. I grew up in the West Coast and in California, and I can tell you the first time I went to New York, I couldn't buy enough T-shirts that said I love New York, and my friends looked at me like, what, are you nuts? You know, what are you thinking? And I loved the energy. I loved the competitive spirit that was in the city. And even the people who, you know, on the surface could be a bit ornery and brusque, I grew to appreciate, you know, what some might call their lack of charm. But it was just really precious to me, because I'll never forget, and I tell this story all the time, my first time in New York, I go to get a cup of coffee, and you have this rather brusque individual, you know, behind the counter, and there was a line of people. What do you want? You know, kind of deal. And it's like, well, good morning, you know, kind of deal. And hey, I'll have a cup of coffee. You know, I'll have a cup of coffee. And so, you know, he asked me, he goes, well, do you want it regular? Well, you know, being West Coast, regular is, you know, you either get regular coffee or you get decaf. And, of course, I say regular. Well, next thing I know, I see him pouring in all kinds of sugar and cream, and then find out the hard way that that's regular in New York. So, you know, so I realized I needed an education really quick. And fortunately, the people there in New York are quick to give you an education, whether you need it or not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's one interviewee in the book who's a pizza expert who talks about how New Yorkers call it a pie, and that's because that's one less syllable than pizza. You know, you just want to get things done. You want to move quickly, say things quickly, get it
right. Well, and that's the deal. I appreciate it. It was like, hey, they didn't care if you jaywalk. You didn't care, you know, if you got, you know, you crossed over in the middle of the street, no big deal, just as long as you didn't get run over and hold up traffic. If you're holding up traffic or if you're honking your horn unnecessarily, no bueno. Ain't going to work there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So for you, Craig, to write this, I take it your background is such, you love New York yourself. You are, I guess, you would define yourself as a New Yorker, right?
Well, I'm from Canada. I was in London for 13 years, and I wrote a book about London called Londoners, and then I was given this chance to go to New York. And so I'm sort of an outsider, but I was given a chance to spend time in the city speaking to 200 different New Yorkers. And I think it was just an opportunity no one should pass up, you know, all of that wisdom, all of those stories. So I leapt at it.
Well, you captured the spirit in such a way that, and I remember reading that you were Canadian, but I thought, gosh, you know, you really assimilated quite quickly.
Yeah, well, I hope to. I mean, it's a power, you know. When you live there, you just plug into this to this power that is New York, and you see what it does to others, how it elevates some, and it really punishes others. It's a very, very powerful entity. It's not just a collection of buildings. It's an actual power that people plug into when they live in the city.
Well, like Frank Sinatra saying, it's a city that never sleeps. That's how competitive. That should tell you something initially in terms of its spirit of competition, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I got to speak to so many of these different types of people in the city. Lots of singers like Sinatra, but also I was speaking to nannies and dog walkers and a lice consultant and a great elevator repairman who told me all about, you know, how the workings of the elevators in New York took place, a 911 operator, a window cleaner. So there was a huge scope of different professions, all these people speaking about their own personal New York, seeing the city through their own prisms. And I found that was a great way of trying to get at what the city was.
And to make it work, I mean, like you're saying, New York is not a cheap city. I mean, it is expensive. I mean, people are, you're lucky if you have an apartment and you live by yourself. Usually apartments are two or three people deep. And like, for example, here, as you mentioned, you're talking to these different people in the nonstop hustle of New York. You talk to a owner of a dog walking business. Andrea, what did Andrea tell you?
Great about exactly that, this hustle. Her life is just, you know, this kind of endless procession of movement, of walking dogs, of getting customers, of doing invoices, and all the while just knowing that, you know, you're right on the edge too. She spoke very eloquently about the fact that if you miss payment, if you miss a rental payment, you could just be out of the city, your business could fail. You know, sometimes you're right on the edge there, but that forward momentum keeps you going. And she was somebody who sort of loved that, who loved this idea of just plunging forward every day, you know, getting up, grabbing these dogs, getting out on the sidewalk, battling other dogs. And I loved the way that she viewed New York.
It's kind of the ultimate, I mean, when you think about it, of self-responsibility. I mean, nobody's there to bail you out. You're the one that's doing it. And there's plenty of competition in the city of 8 million people. And you can find jobs, you can find needs there and flow to that need and be able to manage it, like you say, even though it's on the edge. But it's everything. I mean, even if you're an aspiring star and you come and you have ambitions to work Broadway, right? It's not like all of a sudden your name's on the marquee.
No, and it's that hustle to do it. And I think, you know, provides a stage for any profession in the world. There is a specific stage in New York that you perform on. And I got to speak to these people who were performing at what they saw was the highest level in this city in their own chosen profession. So a lawyer talked about how in a New York state court, he could roam the courtroom like he was a Shakespearean actor, whereas in a federal court, he had to stand still. He was constrained. He didn't have the freedom. And I talked to an electrician who turned on the lights on the Empire State, who ran new lights up there, and knew that even as an electrician, that was about as good as it got, you know, being able to look up at the Empire State and think, I did that. I made that shine. Yeah. So cool. Whatever you do in New York, you have that stage that you can perform on, and that's what drew people to the city.
Well, what a great way to understand the city, by interviewing and talking to New Yorkers themselves and understand the city and its people in our time. I mean, doctors, lawyers, life consultants, private cook, on and on. We've got more. Stay with us.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 30 languages worldwide. The Easter celebration provides an opportunity to reflect on our purpose and mission. Jesus' death on the cross was the ultimate act of undeserved love, and without the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday, the Tide Ministry would have no gospel to broadcast. This is the perfect opportunity to meditate on the good news that the Tide radio programs share with listeners every day. The Tide Ministry is excited to go forward in the spring season with a rejuvenation and a rededication to sharing the gospel message. Many of our listeners around the globe are hearing the gospel for the first time or just learning what it means to have a relationship with Christ. As Easter approaches, let's thank God for new life in Christ and the opportunity to share the gospel. To learn more about how the Tide Ministry works to share the love of Christ across the world, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, continuing the good fight, fresh and independent we are, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Good to have you with us, 19 minutes after, and we're talking with Craig Taylor, best-selling author of Londoners. Now this time around, we're in New York. We're talking New Yorkers, the city and its people in our time. As we were talking off the air, Craig said that this was a six-year project. I mean, which is amazing to be on a project at this length of time. And, of course, you know, the crescendo of it all is you've got the pandemic that's taking place. You know, Craig, I'm interested, you know, you're talking to New Yorkers pre-pandemic and then during the pandemic. Did you see a big shift take place here in the hearts and minds of New Yorkers during this time?
Well, New York is really a place of resiliency. You touched a bit on that at the beginning of this segment, and I just saw that again and again. There were these big ticket items that people had to respond to. They had a terrorist attack. They had Hurricane Sandy, and I was able to speak to people who were intimately involved in all of these issues and these events. A first responder at 9/11, someone who tied his sweatshirt to his daughter's wrist when the floodwaters of Sandy took over, and then of course the pandemic. And a lot of the book is given to nurses talking about what happened when it struck. And then there's the story of a real New Yorker who goes into the hospital with it and tells an extraordinary story of survival. And in a very New York way, he sets the chair down next to him and says, and addresses it as if it's the virus, and says,
"Wow,
what do you think you're doing coming to the city? You're not taking New York away from us."
Right. And the thing is, it's so surprising, as you say, they're so resilient and definitive, you know, from our purview outside of the city, it would seem, you know, of all people, they should be the ones taking a stand against some of the draconian measures that were being instituted and thrust upon them by, you know, Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo.
Yeah, I think you see all sorts there. You know, there's every slice of the political spectrum is there, but there's also a sense of cohesion. And when you're living that closely with other people, it's not an abstraction. You know, you can see how your behavior affects those around you. And what I saw there, you know, in these accounts of times of stress and trauma, was people coming together, you know, in a really profound way and doing something for the good of the city. And that's just what you're called upon to do in a place like New York. You know, if something happens, it might be you who needs to stretch out a hand to his or her neighbor. And so I saw, you know, questioning, of course, but I saw a lot of social cohesion, which, as we're seeing, is how people get through this. They work together rather than apart.
Yeah, trying to make sense out of all this. I mean, because one of the big heartbeats of the of the culture is the nightlife. It's the restaurants, people not being able to, you know, go to their favorite restaurants. Some of those favorite restaurants are no more and may never, ever come back, which has to be a heartbreak. But again, it speaks to the resiliency of New Yorkers who have experienced heartbreak before, as you say, whether, you know, we're talking about a hurricane, we're talking 9/11, and other tragedies.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm not sure how this will all shake down in the future. I'm really trying to be optimistic about a big comeback. People realizing that what makes New York great are these restaurants and cafes and bookstores that can't be found anywhere else. That there's going to be, you know, a real embrace of what has been lost, and hopefully what will come back.
Right. Well, in a sense, I'm like you. I'm in anticipation of what replaces this, because New Yorkers are not going to fold their tents. I mean, you know, given the opportunity, and once, you know, the chains are taken off, I mean, they're going to come back in a strong way. I mean, that's just what they do time and time again. And it's kind of the personalities of the big cities in America today. In your book and talking, you know, with all these various people, and gosh, I'm really envious of you to have this kind of opportunity and have this length of time to be able to do this. You know, it's like, you know, when you talk with people like yourself, it's like, gosh, I wish I could have been there. I would have carried your bag for you or something, you know, just to hear the comments. What were some of the biggest surprises that you heard about? in your interviews?
I think everyone knows about the sort of brutality of New York, or the, you know, the fast-paced nature of it. I was just very surprised again and again about the accounts of compassion described. Mm. You know, there were so many smaller examples of it. There's a subway conductor I speak to in the book who describes holding the hand of an elderly woman who is dying on his platform. And it's, oh, wow. It's not 9/11. It's not Hurricane Sandy. It's just this, you know, this one moment where this guy who works the trains for 30 years is just asked to do something, and he spends the last few moments of this woman's life holding her hand. And that was just one of many of these small city moments that, that just kept being repeated to me and kept being told to me of when you're asked to reach across to your neighbor. And that, I think that was the most surprising thing about New York, was just how much of that was there. Of course, it was all done in a New York way. The same train conductor talks about how, you know, if someone had a heart attack in his carriage, everyone would leap up, but the people in the next car over would say, oh, come on, can't we just get the body off the train? We got to get to work. So New Yorkers have a specific way of showing compassion, but it's definitely there.
Right, exactly. Well, and as you relate the story, you get the sense that this is just one of many stories just like this that you never hear about, right?
Yeah, and you know, these books are always failures of sorts. You can't capture everything about a city or a place, but you know, there's this richness there where you realize that there are all of these types of stories, there are these encounters that can be conveyed, even if you're not in the New York of the 1940s or 50s or whenever. You know, you get the New York of your time, and the New York I got was, I found, just an infinitely rich place full of all these extraordinary humans.
In part two, you address, you title it Clashing in the Streets. I mean, from a philanthropic foundation officer, a cop, a protester, a former bus driver, an activist and political organizer, a gay rights activist. Wow. I mean, the panoply of characters just in that section alone.
Yeah, New York is a stage for protest, too. I mean, we see it constantly. And what I found out there was the city is almost an amplifier itself. You know, voices sound different in the big canyons of Midtown. You know, there's more of an echo. You can make more noise. You can block more streets. So, you know, it's a very important part of American life, I thought, was this ongoing conversation, this protest, counter-protest, that sort of political vibrancy played out in New York in a very specific way, and has since the very beginning of that city. So, so that was definitely something I wanted to include.
Well, and I like the idea that you even went beneath the streets. I mean, because what's below the streets as vibrant and alive as what's above, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I like talking to people who don't often get to talk about what they do. And so there's the voices of engineers who really, there's a great engineer in the book who's really taking the long view, with talking about what the city will be like 200 years in the future, who you know, stresses that it's a transient place. People come and go, but we have to think of these places and how they're going to look, what they're going to give us years and years from now. And that's a very unsung job. So I was interested in some of the unsung workers of the city, the heroes of the city.
And he was an immigrant. So, you know, the fact that immigrants are so, so much a part of the woof and warp of New York, right?
Yeah, there's just no getting around that. And there's a big section about immigration in the book that's started by a guy from Queens, you know, a white guy who grew up in Irish Queens, who has this just beautiful way of talking about his New York, because that's what it's always been. There's no getting away from that. There is a statue in the harbor welcoming people in. And a lot of New Yorkers I spoke to said, no matter what's going on, this is what New York is about. And there's just no way of getting that out of its DNA. This is where people come, and we need to welcome them in. So that was right from the words of all of these born and bred New Yorkers. It was great.
Very well said.
From them.
Well, is there a common thread? I mean, we've got about 30 seconds left here, that will bless others who aren't necessarily New Yorkers, but something that they can relate to, you know, in this book?
I think it's ultimately just a book about people, about humans, about vibrancy, resilience, and connection that we all need to invest in and feel. And whether whether you're in a massive city or in a small community, some exactly. of those themes will always be important.
Got to leave it there. Craig Taylor, thank you so much for being with us. Great
the
book.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
6 family members were dead in an apparent murder-suicide in suburban Dallas after 2 brothers made a suicide pact that included the deaths of their other relatives. Allen, Texas police say a concerned friend called police around 1 a.m. Monday. Sergeant John Felty on NBC 5.
I've been here 21 years in Allen. We have never had an incident like this in the 21 years that I have been here.
One brother was 19, the other was in his 20s. The victims included a grandparent, 2 parents, and a sister. Monday's Supreme Court ruling in favor of Google over Oracle is allowing the industry to breathe easier. By resolving the 11-year-old dispute over rights to program code in favor of Google, the threat will no longer hinder advances in creation of new technology. Walmart is working with the CDC, HHS, and local officials to tackle the COVID-19 vaccine rollout at scale. Over 5,000 pharmacy locations, 90% of the U.S. population lives within 10 miles of a Walmart. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
Back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, go to BillMartinezShow.com. You know, 1 year in, the COVID-19 pandemic continues to impact restaurants across the country. Now, for most establishments, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Great news. To discuss how COVID has transformed the hospitality industry and how to help local pandemic-impacted restaurants thrive is the restaurant boss himself, Ryan Grumpton, is with us. Good morning, Ryan. How are you, buddy?
I'm fantastic. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. Give us some encouragement about COVID-19. Anytime we can hear good news about restaurants and be able to go to a restaurant is uplifting.
Well, we're definitely starting to see signs of recovery, and it's been great. With all the clients that I work with over the last couple of weeks, pretty much every single one of them has reported higher numbers week after week. So it's definitely moving in the right direction.
Well, talk about a comeback. I mean, after this pandemic, I mean, it says a lot about restaurateurs, their heart, and their resilience. What's the status of the industry as it stands right now, Ryan?
Well, like I said, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And while some people have reported their best years ever, many have been completely decimated by the pandemic. And so just the fact that we're able to see that recovery is absolutely fantastic. you know, you mentioned it, but owners, food and beverage professionals, managers, employees, operators have been so resilient, and their ability to pivot quickly has really shown how strong this restaurant industry is and the family that makes up the restaurant industry. Mm-hmm. And we're just really excited.
Ryan, I hope that they can appreciate somehow that their ability to, as you say, pivot and to come back like this is an encouragement for all of us, because as we're realizing, you know, sometimes you don't know what you what you have until it's gone. And for many of us who, you know, miss our local restaurants and that for this past year, I mean, that's been a big, if you might say, a big hole in our soul. And to see them come back is such an encouragement. I mean, it really gives us some hope.
Yeah, this is an industry that's played such a huge role in my life, and I absolutely love this industry. And I couldn't be more proud, like I say, of how hard this industry has fought and how hard they've come together and just how strong they've been to pivot and make changes and get people back to dining again. You know, eating in restaurants is such a fabric of people's lives. We celebrate in restaurants. We break bread with people. We enjoy wonderful times with our friends and family. We meet new people, make new relationships. And that has definitely been something that people are missing. So it's really exciting to see the comeback, should we say.
Well, Ryan, you're right there on the front lines. So tell us what the owners are doing to get back on their feet.
So really, it's right now, it's very much doubling down on what we've been doing for the last year, which is stay on top of third-party delivery. If you don't offer delivery yourself, curbside pickup, enhanced to-go programs, you know, that's been the biggest shift, obviously, is when dining rooms close, restaurant owners have had to turn to off-premise dining or to-go dining. So staying with that as we move forward, that's going to be a huge part of success plans for restaurants that are planning for the future. And we're seeing that in new concepts that are being developed around off-premise dining and even existing concepts that are either renovating or building additional locations are making that off-premise a bigger part of their strategy moving forward. Another kind of less known strategy that we're seeing a lot of restaurant owners do and have been doing is to make their cleaning programs more public. It's always been a big part of restaurants to make sure that they're safe and healthy for their guests and their employees. That's always been important. And the industry on a whole has always done a great job. But through COVID, obviously, it's no longer just a bullet point at the bottom of a checklist now.
Right.
It's become very important to guests to feel safe. And so by using well-branded products, household names like Dawn Professional Pot and Pan, restaurant owners are able to show their guests and their employees that they're taking cleaning seriously and it's safe to come back and eat at their restaurant.
Well, restaurants have led the way in terms of understanding this. I mean, you go into restaurants, you see the big letter A, it gives you a sense of comfort. And so now the lettering at the front door of these restaurants is going to be more meaningful, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, as always, you know, we've looked at restaurants. We want to make sure we're eating at restaurants that are safe. But now more than ever, it's on the forefront of your guest's mind. So as an owner, we want to be as public as possible to make sure that guests know that we're using good products, we're using them safely, we have the right processes in place. Like you say, that letter, that grade A. But also, guests want to see someone wiping down the door handles, and they want to see them using products that they're familiar with because it makes them feel safe.
Ryan, how can we as guests be a part of this this impetus and this positive movement, you know, with what's happening with restaurants? What's our role in this?
Well, I never want to ask a guest to do anything they're uncomfortable with. So the first thing that comes to mind is, of course, go out and support your restaurants, even if it's just through third-party delivery, because we're going to be really sad if they're not there.
Mm.
But on the other hand, it's just taking a deep breath sometimes and maybe slowing down and know that restaurants have been through a lot. And while many guests will show up hangry, if I can take the word
right,
and use that, you know, and I've been there myself. I think even just this weekend, I showed up at a restaurant. It had been a little longer than normal for lunch, and I was in a hurry to get a table. But maybe take that deep breath and know that we're operating at limited capacities. We're taking longer to clean between tables. It's very hard on our staff wearing masks for 10, 12-hour shifts, especially as it gets warmer and warmer in restaurants. So, you know, I think as a guest, just sort of taking that deep breath and letting the restaurants do their thing and just know that they're going to get to you and they're going to take good care of you.
Well, he's the restaurant boss. Ryan Gronfen has been with us. Ryan, I'm going to give you the last word here. Tell everybody where they can go for more information.
Awesome. Yeah, if any restaurant owners out there can visit pgpro.com to get some free samples as well as get some consultations from the professionals at Procter & Gamble to make sure that you're using the right products and the right methods to keep your employees and your guests as absolutely safe as possible.
We always love those free samples, right? So make sure you check that out. And, of course, Ryan's interview will be linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. Speaking of restaurants, this is a breaking story. We got patrons of a restaurant in British Columbia, Canada. Maybe some of this attitude and spirit may be coming south here because they were united to shut down a pair of city health inspectors trying to close the business for allegedly violating COVID-19 guidelines. I mean, this has really gotten out of hand, how aggressive some of these reactions have been. I mean, in southern Florida, there was a woman who was tackled to the ground. She was handcuffed because she wasn't wearing a mask. We've kind of lost a little bit of sense and sensibility here. Well, the footage that was taken in this particular restaurant in British Columbia, Canada, captured, this is over the weekend, shows a woman who runs the Corduroy restaurant in Vancouver holding a small child while telling the inspectors they are trespassing on her private property. Despite being asked to leave, one of the health inspectors tells the woman, "I disagree about the claim of trespassing." At this point, nearly every person in the restaurant starts loudly chanting, "Get out! Get out!" at the masked emissaries of the state. When the health inspectors leave due to the chanting, patrons of the establishment go wild with applause. There was also a video at a church where officials came in to shut the church down and telling everybody it's time to go. And the pastor himself was pretty aggressive in letting the government officials know that they weren't going to close down the church, that they had a First Amendment right, and they were able to convince them without any hoopla to be removed and to get out of said premises, that their their declaration to shut down the church immediately, that wasn't going to happen, that the people were there to worship God, and that was going to be dealt with on another day at a more appropriate time, not in the middle of the pastor's sermon, which is what took place. So, you know, we're hearing stories all over the place, and I think that as we've been talking and sharing with you, is that America is just about had it. They're just about on their last nerve. I mean, remember, it started out with 15 days, and now here, what are we going to end up with? You know, 15 months, 15 years of this COVID fear that is taking place. I'm not suggesting we should be irresponsible, but I'm thinking that, we should know so much more, and as a result, the choices that we make should be a lot smarter, don't you think?
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic, and maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? PetJoy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get 2 bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. That's 800-890-8117. Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest
prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24-7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
Bill Martinez here, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Great to have you with us, and great to be connecting with Nick Loeb. It's been a couple of years, Nick, when you and I talked in Anaheim at NRB when you were still putting everything together for this movie that's just been released, Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, thank you, and I appreciate you having me. Yeah, it's been a while, so I appreciate you having me on today.
Well, a long time coming, but the fruit of all the hard work and, you know, donations, this has really been an all-out effort to talk about all hands coming on deck here to support, you know, the need for the true story of Roe v. Wade and what it all led up to.
Yeah, you know, we did a ton of research, and, you know, I think that's the first time, you know, an actual feature movie has been made about, you know, how Roe came to be and how it was decided. And mm-hmm. now on iTunes and Amazon, Vudu, Google Play, you know, for your listeners to go check it out.
Well, Nick, you were talking about all hands on deck, director and actor. You played the role of Dr. Bernard Nathanson in the movie.
Yeah, so, you know, when you make a film, not a documentary, you can't tell a story based on an event. So we have to use characters to tell a story. So we decided to use Dr. Bernard Nathanson as the protagonist, as he was one of the most instrumental people involved in getting Roe to the courts and getting it passed. He was the founder of NARAL. He had been involved and has overseen over 70,000 abortions. And so we follow his journey through that all the way through in 1974 when sonogram technology came back he got better. He did an abortion under using that. And, you know, when he realized he was killing babies, he converted and became pro-life. So, you know, we really utilized Dr. Nathanson because we wanted to tell both sides of the story, and he was one of the instrumental guys who was on both sides of the issue.
Well, now, this movie, as you say, has to be seen because America has been, you know, propagandized, so to speak, when it comes to abortion, right?
Well, more than that, they've been trying to hide the truth, and they're even doing it today. So, you know, we released it on Friday, and Amazon's been trying to bury the movie. I mean, first they made it unsearchable, then I went to complain about it on Fox, and then they finally made it searchable, but they didn't put it, you know, on new releases, and then they were hiding our stills from our film and not letting people review. And so even today, we're dealing with those same challenges.
Well, and this has been the case from day one. I mean, you have the activists behind, you know, Roe. 70, you know, in 1973, it's passed. The resistance has been very strong. I mean, to the degree that it did everything it could to try to prohibit a very well qualified justice to come on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, it's been a battle to get the truth out. But I think, you know, we're doing a good job, and hopefully this will change hearts and minds.
Well, as you said, this was all hands on deck. Our good friend Dr. Alveda King co-produced this movie with you. You know, of course, she has long been stating the story, you know, about people of color. I mean, we've just gone through a summer of, you know, dealing with how, you know, how Black Lives Matter. But yet we realize there's been this, I guess, as Dr. Ben Carson called it, a holocaust, you know, of black babies. I mean, black women are at least five times more likely than white women to have an abortion. Approximately 1,876 black babies are aborted every day. I mean, that's a harsh reality, Nick.
Yeah, you know, this was a theme in our film, so... the founder of Planned Parenthood was a woman named Margaret Sanger, and her whole goal for starting Planned Parenthood was to reduce the black population. I mean, she came out
exactly.
And said she was a eugenicist, and her goal was to either sterilize or use contraception to minimize what she considered an inferior race. And obviously, they've done a tremendous job you know, doing that because the most amount of abortions in America, I mean, per capita, is African American. And I think this mm-hmm. has been quite devastating for that community. So far, I mean, in our film, you'll see Dr. Mildred Jefferson was one of the leads. She was the first African American woman to graduate Harvard Medical School, the second president of National Right to Life, really championed that cause.
Well, and she also points out, which has again been part of the understanding, as you said, the eugenicist Margaret Sanger, who is honored, quite blatantly. I mean, these are Democratic leaders, you know, whether it's Hillary Clinton that we're talking about, go right on down the list. I mean, even, you know, people that you wouldn't think would want to be honored by eugenicists and somebody who's been involved in the elimination of black babies to such a degree, or I mean to any degree whatsoever. But she also mentioned that Planned Parenthood, you know, is predominantly in black poor neighborhoods. I mean, this was all a systematic execution of the less thans of our culture.
No, you're 100% right. It continues today, and we're still battling, you know, the fake news and censorship to get those messages out, which is it's really disturbing.
Well, Nick, the other thing that you and I talked about a couple of years ago was the grassroots response. I mean, here it is. Roe has been around since 1973, and women are realizing, whether with technology or even practical experience, that there's got to be something that in terms of the lie that's been perpetrated by the industry from the get-go in telling women that it's just some needless flesh, it's like a tumor and that sort of thing. Well, I don't hear a lot of women, you know, being aggrieved over having a tumor removed out of their body. But as you and I discussed a couple of years back, this is something that they carry with them. And that, you know, they will tell me, Bill, my child would have been 7 or my child would have been 14 or whatever, you know, this kind of thing. And I don't know about them ever responding that way in talking about a tumor or some unnecessary flesh that's been extracted from their body.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a big point upstairs. I mean, I myself even grew up, you know, with the, and I was taught when a woman gets pregnant, it's just a clump of cells. And there's no real baby there. I mean, I'm 45 years old, and I grew up in the Northeast, and, you know, it led me down the path in my 20s of being involved in a couple of abortions. And as technology has gotten better over time and been more accessible, you know, now that I can see and listen to a heartbeat the first couple of weeks and see babies sucking their thumb in the first trimester, and, you know it's a human being and a baby there. And I think that's the challenge today. Majority of people still today don't understand that when you go in for an abortion, it's actually killing the life of a human being and just not removing a clump of cells. And hopefully this movie can change hearts and minds so people understand that.
Well, and the other thing, too, that you and I talked about a couple of years back was that how the hearts and minds of men are being changed. Men are realizing and they're grieving. I've often referred to this as the silent cry of Rachel, and much the same thing we read in the New Testament. How Rachel was, there was this outpouring of despair and pain coming from the women whose children are no more. And what I'm starting to hear, Nick, is this cry coming from men realizing that by their acquiescence and by their participation to whatever degree that their child is no more. And I am hearing from men across the country that they're grieving for the loss of a child, a loss that could have been.
I'm glad they're now speaking out. I mean, the challenge is every time a man speaks out, and especially today, you know, we're told it's not our business, and you know, we're bad people, and we're chauvinist and racist. If you're a male today, try to talk about anything. it takes, I think, a lot of courage today for men to speak out on this issue.
Well, it's all part of the cancel culture. Everything's getting canceled. I mean, men are canceled. I mean, and that's what the Bible tells us. When the strong man is tied up, the evil one can come in and have their way. And they've had their way with our women, you know, for a number of years. And as a result, they've killed our children in the process and have compromised our legacy to a number and to a greater number than we really appreciate. And more men, as I say, are realizing this. Women are realizing this just regardless of the political pressure. It's just the reality that they go home with this and they know in their hearts that something's not right. It's not adding up. And now with the new technology that's available, as you said, you know, they're seeing a child sucking their thumb, they're moving, and it looks like a real person. It's not a clump of cells. I mean, this is what changed the heart dramatically, you know, for former Planned Parenthood directors, right?
Well, that's right. And then, you know, they made a movie a couple of years ago on that, it was called Unplanned. So
yes.
I think today with new technology, listen, getting it out there with the new technology, it is changing hearts and minds. I mean, today you'll see 80% of women today who hear a sonogram before they have to have an abortion change their mind.
Exactly. Well, Nick Loeb, thank you for being with us. Appreciate it. All the best to you, buddy. God bless.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Are you